This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Trump to address the nation. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka on this Tuesday, January 8th. Thanks for joining us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump will use a primetime address this evening to make his case for a wall along the southern border.
On a related note, the partial government shutdown enters day 18. You'll hear from Indiana Congressman Jim Banks in about 2 minutes.
In sports, Clemson dethroned Alabama to capture the college football national championship, its second title in 3 years.
And how to find a cloud service for all your different cloud subscriptions.
So look at this in a couple of ways. One is figure out what device you use most and then sort of cater it towards that. And so, for instance, if your primary laptop is a Windows machine, but you also have an iPad, you know what? OneDrive has a pretty good iOS app. And certainly in Windows, you gain a lot from having something that automatically syncs your documents folder and your pictures folder to the cloud.
Tech writer Rob Pegoraro at USA Today on finding the right cloud service. He's here in about 20 minutes. President Trump will make his case to the American public over his push for funding for a wall along the southern border. With the government locked in a partial shutdown as Congress debates the funding, the president will deliver a primetime address at 9 p.m. Eastern Time this evening. Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer of New York.
Just about every expert you speak to says that there is far more effective ways to deal with the border. Drones, helicopters, some kinds of fencing in some places, not a wall.
Louisiana Republican Congressman Steve Scalise was on Fox and Friends.
They love to say they're for border security. They just won't back the actual things that our experts are telling us we need to do to secure the border. So you can't have it both ways. If you're for border security, you actually have to back that up. And you've got to speak with ultimately the money it's going to take to secure the border, too.
The Wall Street Journal says the president and his staff are still reportedly deliberating whether to declare a national emergency. Meanwhile, the Trump administration said yesterday that the IRS would pay tax refunds, even though the agency is closed. More on the partial government shutdown as we begin day 18 from Jim Banks, Republican congressman from Northeast Indiana. Jim, how do you see this?
Well, the shutdown, Gordon, has gone on way too long. I think everybody on Capitol Hill agrees with that. But the sad fact of the matter is that the negotiation process that has to occur is completely broken down.
Do you support President Trump's position here of keeping the government shut down until he gets his wall funding?
Well, no, nobody supports shutting the government down, but I do back up the president's support him fully in making border security a key tenet and priority of the spending deal. With 2,000 illegal border crossings a day, 90% of the heroin that comes into our country that drastically affects communities all over my district in rural America, rural Northeast Indiana that I represent, and then just the baseline national security threat that our weak border poses. There are a lot of reasons to build a wall and secure the border. And $5 billion, well, that's a lot of money. That's a drop in the bucket when it comes to the overall priorities of the current spending deal that we're talking about. So it's not an unreasonable request, and I do support the president fully in making it a key aspect of the negotiation.
I understand at least some of the basic politics here. The Democrats don't want to give President Trump a victory, but more broadly here, when we talk about the wall, are we talking about treating a symptom and not the cause here? I mean, largely this is about immigration reform, right, in the system we have in place that encourages people to get past the border illegally?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there are two significant aspects to this immigration debate. One is securing the border, which is what we're talking about today, but then the overall immigration reform efforts, which we focused on a great deal over the past couple of years. You might recall the Good Lat Bill. There was a Good Lat Bill 1, a Good Lat Bill 2. that would have taken a compromise approach to addressing DACA, but also reforming much of the failed immigration policy in this country that just simply doesn't work. I think that all of that, all of the above has to happen, and there's room here for that type of a compromise. Unfortunately, that's not what we're seeing come from House leaders and even Senate leaders at this point. Let's pass a bill that funds border security, but also addresses some of the failed immigration policies that we have at the same time. That's the type of reasonable compromise the American people want to see that, unfortunately, they're not getting right now.
We're speaking with Indiana Republican Congressman Jim Banks talking about the government shutdown. We've heard President Trump say, too, he may snatch money from somewhere else and call this like a national security emergency and fund the wall that way. Do you support that?
I don't like the sound of that. The president did repeat, though, that that's not what he intends to do or wants to do. He stated that he could declare a national emergency. But at the end of the day, Gordon, all of this falls in the lap of Congress. Let's pass a bill. Let's compromise on some of the key priorities and get the government funded and open. Let's put something on the president's desk that he will either sign or veto. That's how the process is supposed to work, and so far we haven't seen that.
What about kicking this down kicking the can down the line again? I mean, to negotiate more. I feel like, man, you've had it on your plate for so long. What else is there to negotiate?
We've done that over and over again for 2 years. We said that we would pass a continuing resolution or pass this deal or that deal, and we'll get to border security later. The president, I believe, is rightly fed up with that mentality. This was the deal at the end of last year where we were supposed to find an opportunity with the Homeland Security aspect of the appropriations process to find dollars and appropriate dollars to build the wall and provide for border security. That didn't happen, and that's why I understand why the president is frustrated and wants us to see us come to the table to provide that. Gordon, at the end of the day, my constituents want that too. I mean, the volume of phone calls that I'm receiving into my office aren't about funding the government and ending the shutdown nearly as much as they are about addressing border security. And that, I believe that's what you're finding with members of Congress all over the country as well.
All right. So on border security in a state like Indiana, like folks feel strongly about this, because it's hard for me to tell sometimes if this is Texas, New Mexico, California type thing versus issues in the middle part of the country.
No doubt about it. I just won my first reelection campaign overwhelmingly, and this was one of the major campaign subjects that we debated coming down to the wire to Election Day. My district cares passionately about this. And again, it's not just about illegal immigration. That's a big motivation for addressing border security, but it's also about the illegal drug flow that is drastically affecting communities all over the place, like in my district. The national security aspect about keeping Americans safe and secure. It is an emotional issue and one that the constituents of my district in Northeast Indiana want us to address as much as perhaps districts all over the country.
Thanks, Jim. Jim Banks, Republican congressman from Indiana. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Tuesday. The college football seesaw has tilted again. Clemson beat Alabama last night 44-16 to win the national championship for the second time in the last 3 years. The Tigers were led by freshman quarterback Trevor Lawrence, who finished 20 for 32 for 347 yards and 3 touchdowns. He did not throw an interception, and he was not sacked. Lawrence became the first true freshman since Oklahoma's Jamel Holloway in 1985 to start and lead his team to a national title. His top target was another freshman, Justin Ross, who had 6 catches for 153 yards and a touchdown.
And backpedaling, Lawrence flips it open, wide open. Justin Ross, off and running. The Alabama native wins the foot race, and Clemson strengthens its grip on this championship game.
Chris Fowler on ESPN, that put the Tigers up 37-16. Clemson took the lead early in the second quarter and never looked back, scoring 30 unanswered points. Alabama was trying for its 6th championship in 10 years. Again, the final score, 44-16. By the way, in about 15 minutes from now, how Clemson and Alabama approach things so differently. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, with no breakthrough in sight, President Trump will argue his case to the nation tonight that a crisis at the U.S.-Mexico border requires the long and invulnerable wall he's demanding before ending the partial government shutdown. Louisiana Republican Congressman Steve Scalise told Fox he stands with the president.
The president has shown he's willing to sit down and talk and try to reach an agreement. I know our teams have been meeting all throughout the weekend to try to find some common ground. If Democrats really want to work with us to get the government back open again, they've also got to recognize that border security is at the heart of this.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
It will take years to even begin building it. Why is that? Because it has to be built largely, almost exclusively, on private property. And the private property owners on the southern Texas border believe strongly in private property and eminent domain. They don't want the government taking their land for nothing.
Trump's Oval Office speech will be followed by his visit Thursday to the southern border. The partial government shutdown is starting to affect air travel. Over the weekend, some airports had long lines at checkpoints caused by a rising number of security officers calling in sick while they're not getting paid. Safety inspectors aren't even on the job. An FAA spokesman says inspectors are being called back to work on a case-by-case basis, with a priority being put on inspecting airline fleets. Kevin Spacey has formally denied a criminal charge that he groped a teenage busboy in 2016. The actor and ousted star of House of Cards has pleaded not guilty to the charge. The judge has ordered Spacey to keep away from his accuser and the man's family. The next hearing in the matter set for March 4th. The game of corporate leapfrog continues. Amazon has hopped over Microsoft as the nation's most valuable publicly traded company. The shift came yesterday after Amazon shares rose 3%, lifting its stock market value to $797 billion. Microsoft's stock rose less than 1%, leaving its value at $784 billion. The flip-flop marks the first time Amazon has captured the top spot.
Kevin. Square those numbers. Ridiculous. As they approach a trillion, right?
I'm sure you have a lot of that stock, though.
Oh, yeah. That's why I'm here. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. It's getting hard to unbox without a sign-up. Few new gadgets let you pass their welcome screens without inviting you to subscribe to a cloud storage service to augment their storage and back up their data. If all your devices are from one company or run on software from the same firm, that decision can be simple. But tech writer Rob Pegoraro says for a lot of us, no such uniformity exists. He's written a piece in USA Today about options for this. Rob, what should we consider?
So basically, you've got all these choices, and it can be really confusing if you don't have all of your devices coming from the same company. You know, if you live in an Apple universe, then sure, go with iCloud. Pairs nicely with iOS and macOS. Everything's set up for you. If you just have a Windows laptop, then Microsoft OneDrive is pretty convenient. If you have an Android phone and a Chromebook, then obviously Google One Cloud Storage is the way to go there. So I looked at this in a couple of ways. One is figure out what device you use most and then sort of cater it towards that. And so, for instance, if your primary laptop is a Windows machine but you also have an iPad, you know what? OneDrive has a pretty good iOS app. And certainly in Windows, you gain a lot from having something that automatically syncs your documents folder and your pictures folder to the cloud. If you have a Windows laptop and a Mac laptop, the weird thing I found is Microsoft has actually done a really good job with their Mac app. You download it from the Mac App Store, it's updated automatically. And Google and Amazon, their cloud apps, they're traditional things you got to install separately. They have a separate update process. If you live in a device that's If you live in a world that's not all Apple, then you get this awkward situation where, oops, there isn't an iCloud app really for Android, so that's not a great fit. There is an iCloud app for Windows, but it's pretty ugly. It hasn't been updated in a while. It's not my favorite piece of software on my Windows laptop.
So what's the best case scenario here? Because obviously you can get into a lot of things, right? You start dropping in a Dropbox, as you mentioned. It can really get complicated here.
So one thing you can do to save your costs is mix and match a little bit. You know, with Apple and Microsoft, you have 5 gigs free all the time. And so that can be good for just backing up your documents for the really important stuff. For photos backup, what I've been telling people on iOS for a while is don't pay Apple for that, because you're going to get free unlimited backup through Google Photos. And that stuff is going to be accessible in any web browser, on any Android phone you might someday own. browser in Windows, whatever. And that's free, so there's not much point in paying Apple for iCloud storage. So you can sort of mix and match it a little bit, thinking about what do we need to have available everywhere. And we mentioned Amazon. If you have a Fire TV box or stick plugged into your TV, maybe you want to use that if you pay for Prime, because then you have free photo storage on that. And you can see your photos on your TV through that little add-on.
We're speaking with Rob Pegoraro, tech writer. He's got a piece running in USA Today called How to Match a Cloud Service for All Your Devices. Do you imagine a world where it actually gets simpler than this?
Honestly, probably not. Everyone has too much of an incentive. Microsoft is really emphasizing their services business. Apple is doing that. Google is doing that as well. Because you look at it from these companies' standpoints, yeah. You kind of want to make money from somebody every year.
All right, thanks, Rob. Rob Pegoraro, tech writer in USA Today. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Grainger stands for safety, and they know what safety stands for. S, safety. A, all about safety. F, feeling good about safety. E, extreme safety. T, talking about safety. Y, you guessed it, safety. First aid kits, eyewash stations, fire protection, you name it. For over 90 years, they've been helping to keep facilities safe and people safer. When it comes to safety, Grainger's got your back. Call or click Grainger.com to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There's nothing small about your business. Your passion, your hours, your reputation, it's all huge. Your partnerships, even bigger. With Dell Small Business Technology Advisors, you'll get the tech, advice, and one-on-one partnership to help your business grow. Because with reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, you can focus on what matters most, getting business done. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Glad you're with us. Welcome into Tuesday, January 8th. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Trump speaks about the border wall in a national address this evening at 9 Eastern. Day 18 of the partial government shutdown today. Clemson routed Alabama for the college football crown. The annual Consumer Electronics Show opens today in Vegas with more robots than ever, including the suitcase that follows you in airports. And the Chick-fil-A employee who's gone viral for her kindness. That story in about 20 minutes.
Tua looking to throw on first down. Launches it for Judy, but it's picked off. The second interception. This is Trayvon Mullen. And Mullen getting some blocks and still going. Tight roping out near midfield as Tua is picked off for the second time.
More on that in just a moment. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. Dell Small Business Technology Advisors know there's nothing small about your business. They provide one-on-one partnership and reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors to get business done. Clemson in recent years has climbed into rare air with Alabama and stayed there, evidenced by last night's dominating 44-16 win over the Crimson Tide in the college football national championship game. You just heard that clip from ESPN. The formulas for the two teams are quite different. Alabama creates and then exploits its advantages, and Clemson figures out a cheaper, curvier way to get to the same place. So says Wall Street Journal sports writer Rachel Bachman, who was at the game last night. Rachel, explain.
One of the things Clemson did about 5 years ago was to hire a small social media team to really try to punch above their weight in terms of spreading their brand and also create content that would show recruits that this is a fun place to be. And that really has yielded some great results. The kind of the image of their brand has really risen among recruits. They actually stole an offensive lineman away from the state of Ohio, from Ohio State, a guy I talked to a few days ago. And so they've really had some great successes with creating original videos and kind of fun things that recruits have been connecting with.
All right. So Alabama, I would presume, has the resources to do that. They just don't do that, or Clemson does it better in this case?
Yeah, well, Alabama definitely has, you know, of course it has its own social media presence and so on. What Clemson did was they said, we have to be different. We have to stand out. So while what comes out of other schools, and I would say Alabama included, tends to be, if they have a video presence at all, it tends to be sort of like a Hard Knocks kind of documentary style clips where it's just sort of a fly on the wall you know, camera in the room, and they show things that are happening around the program. At Clemson, you know, they create original content. They had something that came out in December called How the Grinch Almost Stole Clemson Signing Day. And it's this whole, you know, sort of sketch with the Grinch going to the football facility and talking about how he wished he'd been recruited and so on. And so it's, you know, it's very creative. Other videos include, you know, head coach Dabo Swinney talking to the camera about, you know, how great this is or that is, and, you know, introducing people to, you know, viewers to people in the program. So it's a much more camera-facing, friendly, fun, kind of upbeat vibe that Clemson modeled after the YouTube celebrity Casey Neistat, who's this very self-made guy. He's very kind of informal, but hugely popular, and he has that same camera-facing sort of I'm just a regular guy kind of approach.
Yet, as you point out in the story, Alabama for I don't know how many years in a row has landed the number one recruiting class. How do those things square?
Yes. Well, you know, Clemson is really catching up. I mean, it doesn't have one of the, you know, top one or two classes, but you know, they've been in the top 10 or 15 consistently in recent years. And you know, that's quite impressive for a school that is, you know, 2.5 hours from the nearest major airport. I talked to the social media guy at Clemson. He said, you know, our goal is really to get recruits to visit because nobody drops by Clemson, South Carolina. Really have to make a point to get there. And so they really have made some headway in especially getting out-of-state recruits to come in. You know, their freshman quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, is from Georgia. So, you know, they've convinced him to go out-of-state to play in South Carolina. So they've had some very big wins in recruiting at key areas.
I'm speaking with Wall Street Journal sports writer Rachel Bachman. She's got an interesting piece entitled The Rivalry That Shouldn't Be, How Clemson Competes with Alabama. There was an interesting survey that you pointed out in this story, too, where like far more kids like chose Clemson as what, more interesting or something than Alabama?
Yeah, basically, an online firm polled 224 high school football recruits, and they purposely chose recruits who were not, you know, like A-level type recruits. They're just high school football players, so they wouldn't be influenced by their interactions with coaching staff. So they're forming their impressions based on what they see, you know, social media, online, on TV, and these 224 high school football players ranked Clemson number one in terms of, you know, a place where if they had the chance, they would want to be. I think Alabama was 19th. So, wow. You know, that certainly speaks to Clemson's efforts to sort of get the word out about how much fun it is to be there succeeding.
Thanks, Rachel. Wall Street Journal sports writer Rachel Bachman. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter, too. You can follow me directly on Twitter, at Gordon Deal. The guy to my right you can find at Radio Gavin 1. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, just how much free advertising can you get photobombing celebrities on the red carpet? A whole lot, apparently. You'll remember we told you yesterday about how it appeared one of the big winners of the Golden Globe Awards wasn't even an actor, but rather the Fiji Water Company, which had a model with a tray of water bottles walking around the red carpet and not so subtly showing up in the pre-show photos that were circulated around the internet. The model, whose name we now know is Kelleth Cuthbert, was much talked about online, adding greatly to the campaign's value. According to an analytics firm, Apex Marketing Group, to create the same level of buzz through traditional advertising, Fiji would have had to spend more than $12 million. On her end, Cuthbert, who said that, quote, you've got to angle to get yourself noticed, has seen her Instagram follower count nearly triple in the days since her image went viral from 60,000 to over 160,000.
Man. Kelleth Cuthbert.
Yes.
That's not so easy to say.
No, it's not.
Does she go by Kelly? Do we know? Or is she just Kelleth?
Yeah, I don't know. She has not shortened her name or changed her name, you know, for to make it in the biz, I guess.
That's a lot of TH value for your dollar there. Kelleth Cuthbert.
Yes, but she is now famous, or she will be for the next 15 minutes or so.
How about Fiji?
Yeah.
$12 million? That's the equivalent? $12 million in free advertising they got for that?
What I'm hoping now is that this does not become a thing. I mean, you know, everybody's already strategizing for the next thing or the next award show or the next big event that's going to be on TV. So I'm hoping this doesn't become a thing that's just everywhere now.
And I'm pretty sure the Golden Globes and other red carpet events are going to be on the lookout for this stuff.
There's going to be some clamping down.
It's going to be like, who does that? Like the NBA, like where they rip off like the Poland Spring label or the Dasani label, right? Because nobody will sponsor the water, so they got to take the label off and then drink the plastic water bottle.
This is definitely not the end of this, for sure. And speaking of viral photos, do you remember last summer when someone who was attending the U.S. Tennis Open in New York created a big stir when she was caught on camera dipping her chicken fingers into her soda? When it happened in early September, the world seemed pretty unanimous that using cola as your chicken sauce was a bad idea. Some users on social media called the act a heinous crime and called for her to go to prison. But that's not stopping the woman named Alexa Greenfield from putting out a cola-flavored sauce. She tells TMZ that she plans to debut the sauce on her website in February, along with themed merchandise, including graphic tees, tank tops, and drink containers. And as part of the marketing push, she even has her own music video called Chicken Soda.
Take the chicken with your right, take the soda with your left, and then you dip, 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 dip. Take the chicken with your right, dip the soda with your left.
Auto-tune there also?
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever that's called?
Well, she's not a professional singer, Gordon. Yeah. So if you're still not convinced, Greenfield tells Fox News that people will be surprised how good a cola-flavored sauce will be, and that in 20 years, nobody will remember that it was ever taboo to pair cola and chicken. I don't know if that's the case.
I could fried chicken.
Yeah.
I think I could see this, you dipping fried chicken in a cola sauce.
Right.
I could go with that.
These were chicken fingers. They were fried in a basket kind of situation.
You got the sweet with the salt, mix. I can see that one. One of my newest favorites, by the way, as discovered by just hacking around the kitchen. Hard pretzels, hard salted pretzels dipped in mayo.
Oh my God.
Yes. Sweet salt balance there.
It's January.
Don't
We're trying to lose weight here, Gordon.
You've not even tried it and you're frowning.
Oh my gosh. I love both of those things. I don't know about together.
13 minutes in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. A new study of adult food allergy prevalence offers some startling insights into what's going on with Americans' immune systems and what they think is going on with their immune systems. It found that 1 in 10 adults, or more than 26 million people, have a food allergy of some kind. At the same time, 1 in 5 believe they have a food allergy, but haven't necessarily experienced the symptoms of an allergy, which means both that food allergies are extremely common and that millions of Americans who think they've got one are probably wrong. As awareness of food intolerance increases, people are likely confusing signs of intolerance with allergies. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the White House is stepping up its efforts to sway public opinion in favor of President Trump's border wall as it seeks to blunt the impact of the partial government shutdown. Trump will deliver a primetime address tonight and travel to the U.S. border with Mexico on Thursday to make his case, while also working privately with advisors to find a way out of the shutdown without losing face. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
It's expensive. The president's asking for $5.7 billion, but that's just for a small piece of the wall. Estimates are it could go up to as much as $70 billion, okay? And of course, that $70 billion is not being paid for by Mexico.
Republican Congressman Lee Zeldin of New York appeared on Fox.
We just need to cut through some of the BS that we're witnessing and just call it for what it is. And the Dems are looking at this as a political fight. They're trying to win the shutdown fight politically.
Meanwhile, Trump administration officials say tax refunds will go out on time during the partial government shutdown. They say customary rules will be changed to make funding available to pay refunds. Dabo Swinney kissed the championship trophy and proclaimed this Clemson team the greatest of all time. He's got a case. With stunning ease and a freshman quarterback, Clemson toppled college football's greatest dynasty again to become the first perfect playoff champion. Trevor Lawrence passed for 347 yards and 3 touchdowns. And the second-ranked Tigers walloped number 1 Alabama 44-16 in college football's national championship game. Swinney was understandably elated.
You know, I know 10 years ago, not many people probably saw this coming. But we're here, and we did it.
Clemson is the first team in the AP poll era dating back to 1936 to finish with a 15-0 record. Already, a lot of people have managed to make their TV antennas and set-top boxes disappear. Now, a company is offering a TV that can itself disappear. LG is showing off a rollable TV. It's a 65-inch screen model that can scroll down into its base with the push of a button. LG says the TV being showcased at the CES event in Las Vegas this week will be available later this year. No word on price.
But TVs have been furniture for so long. Mm-hmm. What are we supposed to do?
Just poof, it goes away.
Good, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. A Texas Chick-fil-A employee was caught on camera going above and beyond. It happened during the shift of 19-year-old Ashley Guzman, who was well into her six-hour workday this past weekend. A frequent customer who is disabled showed up for his Chick-fil-A meal at a mall in the city of Corpus Christi. Ms. Guzman sat with the man, helped feed him, and kept him company. A picture taken by a nearby customer captured the moment, and it went viral. Arturo Ramirez, the man that Ms. Guzman helped that day, was not available for comment to local television media, but his brother said the family was grateful when they learned of Ms. Guzman's good deed. So was her boss, who called it an intentional act of kindness. Chick-fil-A operations director Melissa Tamez said the restaurant encourages its employees to help those who need assistance. Since the photo was shared, others have said the man is a regular at the La Palmera food court. Ms. Guzman, by the way, said she hopes to finish up school someday and wants to be a caregiver helping seniors and people in hospice. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.